as part of our daily prayer, we should say, God, help me to see the opportunities you have before me to share the gospel. Lord, help me not to miss those opportunities. A lot of times I'll do that. If I put tracts in my pocket, I say, Lord, you give me the opportunity. Help me to be sensitive to those things. I've shared this before. I get very tunnel visioned. I get very focused on what I want to do or what I need to do. And sometimes I miss it. And there's been times, and I love it when the Holy Spirit does this. I love it. Can I be honest? There's times I hate it. When he just, I go to walk away from a cashier, and man, it's like I'm chained, right? Like I just can't, I gotta. And that's the Holy Spirit, that's God fulfilling or answering that prayer. So very good. Ian, did you have your hand up, sir? Okay, yeah. He's translating the,
through the foolishness of what is preached. And fundamentally, the gospel feels, as humans, a foolish thing to say. There's a God that loves, and you just have to accept this gift. And the methodology of spreading the gospel and witnessing to others makes us feel foolish, because it's not on man's power, it's not on man's ability, it's on something else. And so we don't like that feeling of foolishness with the world. We know that in this sphere of brothers we can be comfortable and we understand each other, but going out to the world and speaking foolishly of this loving God is a thing that we are nervous to do.
Yeah. And that's one of those fears that Satan puts in, of fear of how I'll sound. Right? Fear of, oh, well, what if I say the wrong thing? Listen, you talk to enough people, guess what? You go and say the wrong thing from time to time, at least from your perception, right? It doesn't mean it's from God. I was talking to someone this morning even about this, and almost every time I preach or every time I share the gospel, I always think, oh, I wish I would have said, fill in that blank, right? And it doesn't matter, right? Wednesday night, man, I got to preach down in Florida, and just some sweet people there. We know them, they're like family to us. And even afterwards, I'm like, oh, I wish I would have said this and this and this and this. Well, here's what we have to understand. If we've done our part, right, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to studying and trying to understand and wanting to share, and if it's a message that we've done our study ahead of time, we're prepared that way. Listen, that which you said, and if it's Holy Spirit guided, you'll hear me a lot of times pray, Lord, put your Holy Spirit's anointing upon me, guide my words, what I say, what I do, etc. You hear me say those types of things. Why? Because I want every word to come out to be what the Holy Spirit wants me to say. And if we have that as a heart attitude of prayer, listen, he's going to answer it. So if you didn't say something, don't dwell on that. Don't focus on that. Why? Because for some reason, the Holy Spirit didn't allow you. And I can tell you how many more times I've said something, I'm like, whew, where'd that come from? That's Holy Spirit guided, right? So good. Paul, did you have your hand up?
Well, it's just pertaining to what you're asking.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
There's nothing left that has to happen scripturally for the capture, so we should always treat each other as the last one.
Yeah.
What is the son that's lost?
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing else that needs to happen for his prophecy being fulfilled or otherwise for the rapture to happen, right? For Christ's return. So every day we should treat as our last day on earth. We've shared this with an analogy before. If you went to the doctor and they said, hey, you've got 48 hours to live, or 24 hours, or whatever, how would you spend those last few hours? A lot of times Christians will say, well, I would go and tell so-and-so. Or I would make sure some. What's preventing us from doing that now? Right? If we're living just that way. I think of it this way sometimes. What if the Lord allows me to use this person that leading to the Lord, and that's the last one that's saved before the trumpet sounds? There's those things that it's good for us sometimes to think about, good for us to be focused and centered on. But understand this, folks, we are commanded to spread the gospel. If we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's not a suggestion. It's not a, oh, when you get around to it. It's a command. And we need to treat it that way. Think about it this way. My mind goes more towards the Old Testament. I know this is still prevalent in the world today, but you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? The people were commanded to do what? To worship the false idol. And if they didn't, what happened? They're tossed in the fiery furnace. I would say that's a command that's got some power behind it. Now, that's an earthly king. That's just a man, right? How much more power, if you will, does God's command to us have, or should it have to us? This is from the King of Kings. This is his instruction for us. This is his command to us in how we should live. So, good. And again, there's a lot of different things we can talk about. I know we talked about it 2 weeks ago, and so, you know, I don't want to rehash everything, but just kind of remembering, going back to this question that I ask oftentimes, why do we do what we do? Right? What's the purpose behind these things? We're going to have this flashlight Easter egg hunt this coming Friday. Can you believe it's here already? This coming Friday. That's less than a week. And you think about it, who knows? Whether we have 50 visitors here, whether we have 500 visitors here, I don't know. Right? That's up to God. We've done our part. We've done the invitations. We've done the advertising. We've done those things. It's up to God. Right? We do our part, and then God does his part that we have no control of anyway. Even the part we do, we don't have any control of. But we need to do our part. But God brings the increase. So when that happens, we don't do these events just because they're fun. We don't do these events because it's a good community outreach. Why? The world does those. That's not what we're about. What are we about? Sharing the gospel. That's why we're doing this, right? That's why we do Good News Club. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we do all these different activities and events. But it's got to be more than just that. It's got to also be who we are. And why we do what we do is to share the gospel. So let me just, I want to take some time, several minutes here, and just talk through a little bit about what the conversation might look like when we're having the walking stick ministry. Okay? Now, I understand. I'll share a few potential scenarios, but who knows? Right? You understand that? Right? Like there's no, this is the way it's going to be kind of a thing. Right? If you would imagine, I was going to set it up and I just didn't do that, but you think about it, you know, we've got our sign, we put our sign up and we got the barrels of the sticks, and, you know, free walking stick. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and when people see a free walking stick, now again, the stick is nothing more than what? You remember? It's a tool. That's all it is. It's a tool in order to pique people's curiosity. If we put a sign up here that says, hey, come get the gospel, probably not going to come up, right? Or they'll say, oh, those are religious crazies. And maybe we are. That's okay, too. It's not going to offend me if you call me crazy. That's fine. I already know it. Right? But the stick is just that tool to draw the curiosity, right? To pull people up. And when they say, oh, free walking stick, and they see the walking sticks there, what's something they're probably going to ask or say? What do I got to do? Right? What's the catch? Ain't nothing in this world free. Right? That's kind of the mentality that we all have. And so let me just ask this question. How would you respond to that type of a question? Yeah. It's a free gift. It's a gift from our church to you, and all you've got to do is receive it. And if you'd be willing to just let me tell you just a couple minutes of why we're doing this, that'd be great. Now, if at that point someone says, well, no, there's the catch. I don't want to listen to what you have to say. How are we going to respond? No problem. Here you go. Pick whatever color you want. Why? Because on that card, the message of the gospel is on every one of those cards. The plan of salvation is on every one of those cards. There's even a prayer there. People can pray in order to understand what it is, right? So the message is there, right? So if someone says, I don't want to listen to you, if they get, you know, confrontational or forth, hey, just take the stick. No problem. It is our free gift to you. If someone takes the stick, let me ask you this. Let me just throw out this scenario, because I don't want you to think for a moment it's going to be easy. Life's not easy. Ministry is not easy. If they take the card and they rip it off and they kind of throw it back at you, what are you going to do? God bless. Hey, man, we're praying for you. Have a great day. Enjoy the stick. Right? That's just kind of the spirit and the heart in which we want to make sure we have. You say, you know, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to be negative. Why? But at the same time, people are people. Right? Now, let's talk about the fun stuff. If they say, oh, okay, yeah, I'll listen to you. Ooh, what do we call that? That's an open door, right? That's an opportunity. That's the Lord saying, all right, here's the opportunity. So how does that look? And this is what we talked about 2 weeks ago and went through the different colors. Now listen, don't overthink it, all right? Don't allow it to be painful for you. The cards, and I would recommend we'll have a stack of cards. Is you have your own card and you let them look at the card on the stick, or you just show them, and you just walk through those different colors, right? You just walk through the different scriptures that are on those cards. You don't even have to have them look at the card. You can have them look at the little bracelet, right, that's on the stick, the lane you're going around it. And then you just start walking through the gospel. That's what it is, all right? You don't have to call it the Romans Road. You don't have to call it anything for them, right? It's not a quiz or anything else. You just start walking through what the wordless book is. So what's the first color? Do you remember? It's what? Stark. I know. That wasn't a trick question. I won't go there. Our heart was dark with sin, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now here's something, again, we want to make sure that we just take a moment and just remind them, let them know what sin is. Sin, and the definition we use at CEF, and listen, this is a great definition, and it's one that I use when I talk to people all the time because it's simple. It's easy to understand. Sin is anything that we think, do, say, or do that breaks God's law. Anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's law. And they say, well, what's God's law? Anything the Bible says. Right? And then you go on to the red. Right? You talk about Jesus' blood and how Jesus' blood was shed upon the cross. And listen, the important thing here is what? You know? It's not a trick question. It's the point who Jesus is. Right? That Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. That His blood was shed for them. His blood, listen, wasn't just shed for them, it was also shed for you. Right? For all have sinned, going back to the dark, where all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody, every single person on this planet has sinned. Every single person. And they just keep going through the different colors. Okay, and we're not going to go through them all again because we did that just 2 weeks ago. And if you say, Pastor, this is something I'm not comfortable with. All right? And maybe you're not. Maybe this isn't a tool you've ever personally used. Listen, number one, that's okay. Number two, though, what do you think I'm going to tell you to do? Practice it. Right? Find a friend and just practice through with it. I kind of went back and forth. Do we do that this morning? Do we not? And I chose not to on purpose. But just don't be afraid to do that. You can go through and just say it to yourself if you're in the quiet of your own house or car or whatever, and you just talk through what that wordless book looks like. And listen, at the end of it, don't be afraid to ask if they want to receive Christ. This is something a lot of Christians do. And I want to be careful here. I don't want to be offensive. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be anything. In the sales mentality, it's called closing the sale. right? It doesn't do any good if you get to this whole point and then you don't ask if they want to receive, right? So if you say, hey, if you ever, you know, ask Jesus into your heart before, if you do you have a relationship with Christ and say, no, would you like to do that today? Would you like to receive and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and save you? And if they say, yes, I do, well, that prayer is written out on the bottom of the card. Okay? Now, let me just pause here. I know I said this 2 weeks ago, but I want to say this again. Don't feel like you have to do a word for word from what's on the card. Okay? Make sure they understand, listen, saying these words isn't what saves you. It's not. We understand that, right? It's no magical formula. It's no, recited prayer that saves anybody. What saves people? Holy Spirit. What's your part in this? That if you shall confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And by the way, we twist it. That's not the right word. We can confuse this. What are we confessing with our mouth? We're confessing who Jesus is. Should we say, Lord, forgive me my sins? Yeah, we should. We should be sorry for our sin. We need to acknowledge that we're sinners. But we're confessing who Jesus is, and we're believing in who Jesus is. That's salvation. Right? That's salvation. You don't have to say a rote prayer. You don't have to do those things. And so you say, Pastor, why are you emphasizing this so much? Because it's so important. Right? We just want to be so careful of that because it's in whom you believe. Right? They need to believe in who Jesus is. You can, why do you think, let me just pause here for a quick moment. Why do you think I'm emphasizing this? Why do you think it's important that we emphasize this?
He's the only one who can
save us? Yeah. Why else? Larry?
Also believe that God raised him from the dead, you know.
Yeah. He is the way, right? He's not in the tomb anymore. Yeah. There's a lot of different ways that we can have this conversation, we can approach this, but here's one of the reasons why. In this culture that we are in, specifically here, West Bend and the greater surrounding area, okay, West Bend, Slinger, Menominee Falls, right? This whole area. Does anyone know the percentages of Catholicism and Lutheran versus all other religions? 99.2%. 99.2%. Now, that's the latest poll. Maybe it's 97. Maybe it's... I don't know. That's what the poll says, okay? I'm not here to battle that. But think about that. Right? And in those religions, and I'm not here to bash, I'm not here to be whatever, they don't preach the Word of God, so therefore we have to, and that's why we're taking this time to explain this. But in those religions, it's very big on doing what?
Works.
Saying what you tell me to say. Doing what you tell me to do. You go to confession, and then you say so many Hail Marys or whatevers. And so that's why I want to make sure we're very cautious about, having someone read that prayer, right? They need to understand. If you get to this point, this is exciting, right? This is, they're right there. But we want to make sure they understand, listen, this is you making the choice to ask Jesus, to believe in who Jesus is, the Son of God, the only way to salvation. All right, so make sure we don't miss that piece. It's really easy for us to just kind of skip right along and to go right through. And we don't want to miss that piece. Now, here's the beautiful thing. And we talked about this a little bit 2 weeks ago, just touched on it. Here's what's amazing about the Word's book. It really doesn't matter if you're 5 or you're 105. This tool can be used for every age in between. Right? Now, does the conversation look a little bit different? Well, sure it does. Right? I mean, for the kids, we might, just take it down a step or two. For the adults, we might have to be a little more direct. Have you ever, maybe you've done this, maybe you haven't, I don't know. But I know for me, I've had times where I'll say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'll ask a 5-year-old child, so it says for all have sinned. Does that mean you sinned when it says for all? You know what they usually say? Yeah, I'm I've done that, right? I've whatever. Then I've asked a 55-year-old person, does that mean you? And a lot of times, you know what they try to do? Justify it, right? I shared a touch of this a few weeks ago. The teens went ice skating one evening. This might shock you, but I did not ice skate. But I did go with them, and then afterwards, they grabbed a bite to eat, and we're at the restaurant, and Caleb starts talking to this fella, right? And he starts witnessing to him. And then Caleb, I was seeing him, I was just kind of, Lord, just give him wisdom, help him know what to say. But at the same time, I'm gonna let him go, right? He knows what he's doing. And at one point, Caleb said, hey, Dad, he's got some questions, I'm just not sure how to answer. I said, okay, you know, I'll talk to him, that's fine. Well, started going through really the same basic thing. Right? And we start talking about sin. And instantly, here's what the guy did. You know what he did? This guy's probably 60-ish, give or take. He's older than you. So yeah, anyway. I put Caleb on the spot. But instantly, you know what he started doing? A sin. And he started listing his sins. When I was 18, I did this. And when I was 37, I did literally. Like, he wasn't listing a long list of sins, like he's hitting the big ones. Right? But people, we, humanity, we try to justify our sin. We try to justify what we do and why we do it. Listen, if someone will admit that they are a sinner, right, that they have sinned, don't go deeper than that, necessarily. You can, but don't necessarily go deeper than that. Right? Because a sin is a sin is a sin. And for the wages, the payment, the what's due for sin is what? Death, right? Spiritual death. More than just physical death, but it's that spiritual death. And so when you have those conversations, make sure that people just understand that because of their sin, they deserve to die. They deserve to go to a place that's called hell, right? So anyway, I know I'm down a little bit of a rabbit trail on that one. But again, just make sure that when you're talking to these folks, you know, when it comes time for that prayer, if they pray that prayer, you know, praise God for it. Praise the Lord that they did. But make sure they understand it's not because they read some form of words, but because they believe personally in who Jesus is. Because when you boil down the gospel, when you boil down what is salvation, listen, that's salvation. That's salvation. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. So, you know, you have a Catholic that walks up to you and you go through this stuff, you just death, and, you know, the way Jesus did his death and eternal separation, ATLL. They said, well, you know, we have purgatory, and they get into their Catholic thing, and it's like, I think the last thing you want to do is attack that.
No, yeah. So if you didn't hear the question, it's a really good question. No. If you're going through this with somebody and they bring up about purgatory or they bring up something of their, you know, whether it be Catholic faith or any religious faith, right? So here's the answer I'll give you. And it might be, you might feel it's overly simplistic. I don't know. But here's the answer. Bring them back to the Bible. Always bring them back to the Bible. Now, it may not be the five or six verses on the sheet, right? It may be something else that has come to your mind or your heart. But bring them back. So if they did that for me, Robbie, I'd bring them back. Listen, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Listen, because of your sin, because hopefully by this point they've admitted they're a sinner, you know, because of your sin, you deserve to die and you deserve to go to a place called hell. I wouldn't even... unless it was in this format, I wouldn't even go there, right? Now, if it's someone you're witnessing to and it's kind of a long conversation, that can be different, right? But I wouldn't even go down that path, right? Again, point them right back to the Bible. Point them right back to the Bible. Point them right back to the Bible. Here's one thing, and I was going to say this in a few minutes, but I'll say it right now because it fits this really well. Here's what we don't ever want to do. Don't give someone your opinion. Just don't. Right? And it might be a question about faith or religion, something along those lines. And here's why. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's about the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. Someone can shoot holes through our opinions of life. right? Someone can shoot holes from what we think or what we believe. But listen, when it comes to the Word of God, it is absolute. Will they try to? Sure they will. You bet they will. But it doesn't change the truth of the Bible. So hopefully that makes sense and it helps answer that a little bit. Raimi? Into a couple final thoughts towards this. So there will be people that we'll share the gospel with, and they're not going to accept. Let me ask you this. Let me just do a quick survey. How many here were saved as an adult? Yeah. I already knew the answer, but I wanted you to see it. Because I've heard, I think, almost everybody's testimony here. Let me ask this question. How many who were saved as an adult received and accepted the gospel the first time you heard it? There's a couple. There's a couple. Yes. Sure. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But there's a big difference in those numbers, right? And here's why I want to say that. Listen, if they don't receive, if they don't accept, listen, as hard as it is to say this, and I want to be careful how I even word this, from our perspective, it's okay. It's not, but it is, right? We're sowing the seed. God gives the increase. Remember that part. It is not our job to get numbers of professions of faith. It's not it. It is hard. Man, as a pastor, that's hard. Not because I want numbers, but because I want to see people get saved. I just want to slap them sometimes. I want to slap some of you sometimes. That's different. Here's what we want to do. If they choose not to, we want to leave them. Number one, understanding as best as we can explain. But number two, we want to leave them with that genuine curiosity, that genuine, just that thirst. They may not get it, but just something there, and they're not giving up on it. Here's where I'll encourage you to do. We'll have, so like when we do this walking stick ministry, the little connect cards that are in the back here, we'll have these down there. And I would encourage everyone, whether someone makes a decision or not, as you just say, hey, if you want to learn more Or if you'd like to talk with our pastor or email him or whatever, fill out that card, right? If someone makes a choice for Christ, encourage them to fill out the card. If they don't make a choice for Christ, encourage them to fill out the card. No, we don't want to pressure it, right? You can assure them they'll not be getting cold calls, okay? They'll not be getting, you know, selling their information and, hey, we'd like to sell you a car warranty. You know, obviously we don't do those things, but we want to try to do that. I will also have some of my business cards down there. And if they don't want to commit to doing this, because a lot of people don't, right? Why? Because they're afraid people are going to show up or call them or bother them. I get it. But I'll have some of my business cards. Hey, listen, here's our pastor's. Here's his email address and here's his cell phone number. You can call him day. You have my permission to say this to people. You can call him day or night, right? If you have questions about this. And we just want to just encourage them. We want to leave them just wanting more, wanting that answer. We don't, and here's why I say it this way, folks. We don't want it to be an offensive thing. We don't want it to be they left a sour taste in my mouth, right? We don't want them leaving feeling like it was a used car sales experience, all right? Does that make sense? You with me? Okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure. But just make sure of that piece. And again, if they only want to go through two parts of the conversation, so be it, right? So be it. But I really want to encourage you. I really want to challenge you. Take some time. And if it's this week, it's this week. If you want to call me and I'll go through it with you, or if you want to just practice it on your spouse or a neighbor or child or whomever, but take the time to practice through that, right? To think through, you know, what am I going to say? How am I going to say? Don't be afraid to time yourself. Because if we say, hey, if you give me 5 minutes of your time, we want to respect that. We don't want to give them 25, or we don't want to take 25. Now, if they're asking questions and they're into it, that's fine. But right, we want to respect those things. You know, or if it's 3 minutes, give me 3 minutes. Let me just share with you real quick what we're doing here. You know, and again, we could do role playing and so forth, but I think for this, you know, it's really just up to each and every one of us. And I understand not everybody's going to do this. Right? I understand not everyone's going to do this on Friday night or another time. I get it. I get it. But again, we can't forget why we're doing what we're doing. Right? It's not just about eggs. It's not just about a bounce house. It's not just about any of those things. It's about sharing the gospel. And that's what it is about. And if people just have a wonderful time here and they just remember us well that way, so be it. I can't control what they get, right? We can control what we give, but I can't control what they get, or more importantly, what they get. Yep. So what we'll do, and that's a great question. We're going to have the booth set up or station table, whatever you want to call it, kind of over down towards, the nursery area. And so the nursery doors will be available for an adult. If you want to go in with an adult and have that private conversation, again, leave the door open. Make sure it's gender appropriate just for our own safety. Obviously, if there's a child involved, have the parent with them. Right? We want to make sure we're following those things. But yeah, there's always those opportunities. And there will be a couple rooms that we'll have available for that. Specifically, the toddler room will be the one. Because the nursery room I'm going to leave open. If people have young ones that need to change diapers, like they can do that. So, but yeah. We got about 2 minutes. Any other questions? No? You're just full, right? Just good. All right. Folks, listen, if nothing else, be praying about this. Just be praying the Lord uses it. And ultimately, our desire, our heart is to see souls saved. But at the very minimum, here's what we can control is to see seeds planted, to see the gospel go forth. And that's what this is about. All right. So let's go ahead and we'll pray. Father, I thank you again for the time you've given. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity of being in your house. Lord, I just pray that you would just be with us. Lord, draw us closer to you. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity of this walking stick ministry and Lord, this outreach, Father, for the Easter egg hunt. And Lord, I just pray that you would just bless it in a way that only you can. Lord, help us to do our part. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be diligent. Help us, Father, to have a drive and a fervency for souls. But ultimately, Lord, help us also to remember that it's you who gives the increase. Lord, that if someone gets saved, Lord, it is only because of the work of your Holy Spirit. Lord, it's not about us. Lord, less of us. Lord, we're asking for a whole lot of you. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, may this place just be a beacon, Lord, a light for this community. And we'll thank you, Lord. We'll praise your name in Jesus' precious name. Amen.